And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast.
Yeah, let's go. Big couple skate only.
The podcast.
Trace Atkins, huge fan of AI.
Do you like that?
You know, but that's what, you know, if that's what this has come to. If you had gotten those singers and those musicians and gone in a studio to do that, it would have cost you $50,000.
That's exactly right. And here's the crazy thing is every week that we hit it, we don't know what it's going to be. It's automatically set. It does a different, like if I hit it now, watch, I'm going to go and we're going to blow one out of the here. But every time we hit the button, it generates a new version
like a game.
Of the same. Same melody, but
same
a different
lyrics.
Genre, same lyrics. Yeah, here we go. Slightly different.
That one's more similar, yeah.
No, it's kind of Midnight Train to Georgia.
It is Midnight Train to Georgia.
They have a show 5 days a week, but
let's go.
So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
$50,000.
Big finish.
Man, we early on.
Heck, to bring those people back from the dead would cost more than $50,000.
So when we first started, and we started doing syndication. Okay, so it's kind of inside baseball here a little bit, but so you hear like radio stations have jingles like the best
Q105,
whatever. Okay, there are companies that make those. And you sit down with them, and they get the lines, and they write it out, and blah, blah, blah. And they actually had people go in to a studio, real live people.
They're all out of business.
They're all out of business. The thing was is that they're all market specific. So since us being syndicated, we could be in Seattle or in Lawton, Oklahoma. And with those two stations, they have the same jingle package, but we couldn't use it because we are across the street, and we can't have it. You know what I mean? You can only have it in one market.
So we couldn't have Big D and Bubba jingles because there were
because
there were market conflicts because
market exclusive. So we had to think outside the box of how are we going to, because we wanted to have, stupid jingles.
So we were listening to Adobe Walls by Gary Allen. I don't know if you've ever heard that song.
Yeah.
It's very, just very southwestern feeling,
It's
just super smooth, almost a Ray Benson kind of feel. And we're like, that's what we want. We want stuff like that. So we reached out to Gary. We're like, hey, how do we get in touch with the songwriter? And he's like, here he goes. And we put us in. It was Luke Reed. Yep. And he's like, here's Luke. And so we reached out to Luke Reed and had him write us Big D and Bubba jingles. And then we had to pay.
It was the Sleep at the Wheels.
Band. Yeah, the band. Speaking we had to up. Pay them to do our jingles.
And then they were like, you got to pay them every year. Like, we're like, wait, but we thought it was like buying bread. Like, I paid for it. Now it's mine. We didn't realize that there was.
Yeah.
You had to pay these musicians.
You got to keep paying them.
You got to keep them paying, So, yeah. So we kind of went into that direction of jingles. And so now when this AI stuff comes out, it's just like, man, we could do a Sleep at the Wheel stuff now.
It's cost effective.
Do some swing stuff, Texas swing stuff, whatever you want.
Yeah, it's scary.
It is. It puts all those people out of work.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, and I don't know, and that's just scratching the surface of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's other, machine, other genres of companies. AI is taking over theirs as well.
Well, you look at all the layoffs. Every single day we see a thing. So-and-so
Meta
tech
just
company.
Did 30,000.
Yeah, 30,000?
Yep.
I thought it was 7,000. Or was that last week?
Yeah, I don't know.
I went in the studio last week, I guess it was. Went in the studio, 8-piece band, the whole thing, some of the finest musicians in the world. And we go in, and I told my manager, I said, dude, I don't know what you're going to use, whether it's just cell phones or whatever. We got to put some cameras up in here, and we got to video this. We need proof that it's real,
right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? That we really actually did this.
Yeah.
You know, And that's, you know, that's crazy to think that you need to do that now. You need to record it for posterity just to prove to people, I actually did this.
What about for legacy? I think this is an interesting take is Trace Adkins, there will come a day when we're all gone. So you're talking about leaving a legacy for your family. You know, you've got kids, we've got kids. Do you allow someone to clone your voice to carry on so your family, your children, your grandchildren can continue to monetize your image, your likeness? Because you see that like with the Tupac hologram at Coachella years ago.
The Elvis family.
The Elvis thing. Kiss. The Val band
Kilmer.
Kiss. Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Yeah, that movie with him. It looks amazing.
That's so crazy.
What do you do in that situation?
I don't know, man. I'm not going to worry about that. You know, let them worry about it.
You're gone.
Yeah, I'm dead. I don't care.
So you wouldn't even put a thing like, hey, don't do this?
Nah.
You don't care?
You know, they may end up, you know, I don't want them on the pole or, you know.
Right.
So whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that's such a dad-daughter, a daughter-dad, whatever thing. I don't want them on the pole.
That's all. You know, I keep the bar. That's how low the bar is.
I just, you know. I used to say that same thing. I'm like, whatever they end up doing, just
I've got five girls, and, man, none of them ever went on the pole. So it's like, I, you know. That's what I tell my
great
mama.
Father.
She's like, you need to try. I was like, hey, I kept them off the pole.
Yep.
It's crazy.
How many times would they come home and bring a guy home, or you know, meet the you know for the first time, and it's you? First off, it's going to be a nice house. It's probably got a long driveway for them to think about what they're about to go ring.
And you don't honk the horn, boys. You have to go to the door. You have to ring the doorbell.
You have to, right.
You have to meet daddy.
And they already know it's that who her dad is. You know, it's you know. So they get there and their buds already you know told them he's been shot. He's got his pinky ganky, man.
They saw him beat up Marky Marky in Deepwater Horizon.
Huge. It's never really been that big of a. There's just a couple of times when I just was like, and this one guy, I felt bad for him, you know. So I was just like, dude, and I kind of took him aside and it was like, yeah, you're not going to make it, man. You know.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, it's like.
It was after multiple dates, or was it the first time you met him?
No, it wasn't the first time I'd met him, but he'd been around long enough that I just knew this. Yeah. He's not going to. Stick around. She's going to get rid of him, you know. And so I just told him, I was like, man, I don't know how invested you are in this whole thing, but, dude, you need to get out on your terms because this ain't going to last, dude.
Save face.
You know, I can see what's coming.
Did he have a neck tattoo?
No.
That's my favorite. I love seeing guys at Walgreens.
There was one of them one time that he wanted to know if he could hunt out on my place, and I was like, yeah, I guess so, you know. And so I took him out to a place where I knew there was a big, huge white oak acorn tree. And
also great move to ask.
Yeah,
that.
The hunting land is
strong move by this young man.
Yeah,
but I didn't really like him that much. And so we get out there in the middle of the woods and we're just standing there.
Oh, he went hunting with you?
No, he didn't go hunting with me. I was just showing him where to put his stand, you know.
Oh, okay.
So we were out there and then we were standing there looking around. I was like, you know, man. I could kill you right now and nobody would ever know.
You said that?
They'd never find you. Yeah. And okay. It's like, and then he was kind of nervous and I just laughed. I was like, ah, so, you know, whatever. And then my daughter came home from school that day. She was in college and she came home and I was sitting at the dinner table and she walks in the house and just starts screaming at me, you know.
What?
You know.
How
you're
dare
in,
you?
You're insane. Like, no. Yeah. He said he doesn't want to see me anymore. And I was like, hey, you know, I did you a favor.
Yeah, that's right. You're welcome?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, is that what you meant? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're welcome will be fine. Yeah.
You like
just
this
thank,
house?
No,
do
thank
you like
you.
That education you have? You're welcome. Man, excited for the Ryman shows?
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
You act like it's no big deal.
It's a very big deal. That's why
problem.
I'm not looking forward to it. There are two venues in this country that I have never done what I feel like is my optimal performance in either one. One of them is the Ryman, and the other one is the Opry House.
Why do you feel that?
I don't, man, it's just something that gets in my head. It's a nervous, it makes me nervous. It's just the... the reverence that I have for those buildings, the historical significance of it, it gets all over me, man. And
what were your thoughts on who was that was throwing the fans through the beer cans at the Ryman?
I don't
want to say the wrong. Is it Flatland? Was that it?
I don't know, man.
Where they're throwing out anyone? No one pays attention.
I was not.
I'll get it in a second.
I don't know, man. That's
maybe it wasn't them. I forget who it was. Somebody was. They ended up throwing. It was part of like their deal. Like people throw beer cans on the stage.
Oh yeah.
And it was at the Ryman, and the band said, "Hey, don't out of reverence at the Ryman. Don't throw." Of course.
And they did it anyway.
Yeah. And so people are like, so it makes the band look bad.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it is a different. It's a different venue. This is.
Yeah. You know, I challenge you to go back to
Did you fight it?
Yeah, Treaty Oak Revival, and their thing is, you know, throwing the beer cans and all that, and they asked. They said, don't do it,
and
people did it anyway.
Well, good for them anyway that they did that, you know, but like, I wouldn't, yeah. If you go back, I know I did it once, but I think I've done Honky Tonk Badonka Donk on the Grand Ole Opry one time, and that was because somebody had asked me to do it, and it was you know, a request that I felt like I couldn't deny, and that's the only time I've ever.
Why wouldn't you?
I just don't do it on the Opry.
Does it seem too goofy?
It's nasty, you know, and it's like so. I don't do nasty stuff at the Opry,
man. You feel like the Opry is like your mom. Like you want to play in front of your mom.
You don't
want to
cuss
that.
In front of mama.
You want to do that.
You know, when I first started going to the Opry, before I even had a record deal, and I had a friend of mine that was playing guitar for Stonewall Jackson and Janie Fricke, and I went out to listen. I got to go with him a few times, and he was in their band, and I just the guys I got to meet. You know, I mean, it was, you know, Porter Wagoner and some of those cats, Grandpa Jones.
Porter Wagoner ever open his jacket and show you what's inside his jacket?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that little trick. It's a good one.
So, you know, Roy Acuff.
I got to Tracy's one. Yeah.
I got to meet Mr. Acuff, and it's just I just think what those guys would think about that, you know. So,
yeah, but I think they would think it's still good.
Well, you look at John Rich used to do the dirty joke parties with like Mel Tillis and all those guys. And they would have all these country legends get together and everybody got to tell their dirty jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was always part of it.
Yeah, but they're not doing it at the Opry.
But you didn't do it on stage at the Opry.
You go to the mother church.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, little Jimmy Dickens and you know, some of those guys went over the line a few times, but, you know, not crazy, but, you know.
I get it. But at the same time. So you have that line, like you won't do Honky Tonk but Honky Tonk, but you also won't do Arlington. So you get two. You're bracketed.
If I was there this weekend, I would. I'm going to do it at the Ryman.
Well, yeah,
because
this is
the time of year when I do it. It's kind of like Happy Birthday or something like that. You know, I have such reverence for that song. I actually did it at the Library of Congress Tuesday night. We went to D.C. to do this thing at the Library of Congress, and it was some kind of an event, and they had veterans there, and they have a theater in the Library of Congress. I didn't even know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so anyway, they wanted me to sing the National Anthem, and then they wanted me to do Arlington, and I did it because those are the kinds of events or spaces that I'll do that song. But yeah. I don't do that song for drunks. I don't ever do that song in front of an audience that I don't think is going to give that song the respect that it deserves. And I didn't write songs, so I can say that. I mean, I have such respect for that song, a reverence for it.
I was going to say, I think it's great that you treat it the way that the guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier kind of protect the tomb. You have a reverence for it and an understanding of the deepest part of the meaning of that.
Yeah, I've thought, you know, the worst case scenario, you know, if I'm doing that song and there may be a situation where I see some guy that's just, you know, just completely disrespectful, I may stop and come off the stage and kick his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, that's how far I would go with that song. You know,
yeah.
You know, no, dude, you're not going to puke in the middle of my, you know.
Welcome to Arlington line.
And be groping some girl while, right? Yeah.
How often do you see people from the stage, how often do you see people doing just dumb stuff like that?
Oh, well, at festivals, you see it a lot, you know. You know, in theaters and things like that, you don't see it. But like, yeah, there's still festivals out there where you see that stuff.
And you get those corn dogs.
There you go.
People can't stop themselves. Are you following the whole UAP, UFO stuff?
Disclosure? Well, you know, why did you release all the files and then redact some of them, or the whole page is redacted? It's blacked out. What's the point? Why are you doing that?
They didn't release all of it. Apparently, they've got – that was just the first drop. We're going to get more, I'm hoping,
but
soon.
Here's the thing, man. Like, they have one. Did you see the one where it looks like
the star?
Star-looking one.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah, this goes back to biblical times, and this is in Revelation. No, it was a flare. It was a flare, and you could see the parachute. So if someone found that out.
Oh, the star was a flare?
Yo, yeah, dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, completely debunked. Yeah, you can see the little parachute. It's in the picture. But they released that. Mm. They knew that wasn't. They knew that was a flare. They still put it out there. So they're playing us.
Yeah. Don't do that, man.
They're playing us.
Mm-hmm. They just don't think that. I don't know, man. I've watched a lot of that crap on History Channel, and you know,
yeah.
I'm starting to believe maybe they have it. They have the proof, but they don't think we're ready to see it.
You should watch S4. It's a movie about Bob Lazar and how that he claims that he worked on alien spacecraft
technology,
and trying to back engineer it. And
he's been saying it for decades.
And his story hasn't changed. He stayed the same.
Yeah.
S4.
Well, look, man, I don't know why they don't think we're ready for it, because it's like this most recent moon little goofy thing we did, you know.
Oh, where we went around the moon?
Yeah. Come on, man.
What are we doing?
You know, yeah. What? I mean, they did that in 1967. And they're acting like really, you don't know how to do it? That there's plans in that file cabinet over there.
Oh, no, they get deleted. They get deleted.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
they said, oh, no, we can't go back because that got deleted. I'm sorry, excuse me? The greatest achievement that we did
as
mankind, you deleted it?
So
well, they
crazy.
Didn't delete it. They just threw it away.
They don't need
this anymore.
I'm like, what are we doing, man?
But the thing is, I called my daughter and said, okay, I want you to make the grandkids watch this, because I remember when I was a kid. I was just a kid. I was 7 years old when the dude landed on the moon. Mm-hmm. But I remember it because, it was history, you know. And then a few more Apollos after that, it was a big deal. This time, I swear, man, my grandkids didn't even – they're like, oh, yeah, going to the moon. Oh, okay, you know.
Well, we used to watch the space shuttle.
It's like, we haven't already done that?
We would stop in class every time there was a space shuttle launch. We would stop in class to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one thing that always kind of gets me is, what was it, Nixon talking to the crew on the moon on the phone?
In the delay.
Because we were going to do an interview on the show with an astronaut on the space station. And they're like, okay, well, it's not going to work the way you want, guys, because there's a delay. It takes 30 minutes or whatever for your words to get there, then 30 minutes for them to reply, then 30 minutes for your next thing. And I'm like, well, then how did Nixon do it back in the day if it takes that long to do that? And they're like, oh, that was different. And I'm like, we couldn't do that 50 years ago. If we can't do it now, then that was fake.
This is like those fake meat pizzas where they grind up meat. And cauliflower and make it a base of a pizza.
Oh, you're just determined to get me in trouble with this.
Trace's wife is.
Oh, stop, man. Okay. No, but you're right, because like Apollo 13, I mean, whenever all the stuff was going haywire and they were like, oh, Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. Oh, yeah, what is it? You know, that didn't take 30 minutes for them to say that and then get a reply, you know.
I don't know what is and what isn't.
I think there's a lot of that is real, and a lot of it is also fake. I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Hey, speaking of believing, do you believe in ghosts?
I I don't know, man. If you showed me one, I would.
Yeah, but you never had a weird experience, paranormal?
Nah.
I have.
Never.
I don't think, I think you probably have, and you didn't recognize it because you're so,
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I didn't pay any attention.
That's it. I think ghosts are like trying their hardest to get your attention, and you're like, I don't know. It looks like a.
I need to try harder.
Well, you know, the Ryman's haunted.
I've heard.
Was that the, who was it that showed us the picture of?
That was at the, who was that, Schaefer? That was Mark Wills.
Mark Wills.
And it was at the Opry House, right?
Yes. Yep. It's at the Opry House.
So he was getting off stage, or who was it? It was Little Jimmy's last show there or something like that?
God, it was...
I don't remember because
it's
been a while.
It's an unbelievable story. And he showed us... He wouldn't give us the picture. He just said...
I'll
show it to you on my phone. And you look in the audience, and there it is, man. It looks like Hank Williams Sr.
You see a ghostly silhouette. Oh, man,
It's
crazy.
I'm gonna see if I can get him real quick.
It looks like Hank Sr. sitting in the audience, the apparition of Hank Sr.
Yeah,
like, all by himself, completely by himself. And it's you got him?
Yeah, it's
and gone. He never played in that building.
What's going
but he
on,
was
man?
There for his
hey,
friend.
Hey, Mark, it's Dee and Bubba. We're on a podcast, and Trace Adkins is here. We're talking about the ghost of Hank Williams because he's playing the Ryman on. We're talking about the Ryman's haunted and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Can you tell him the story of the picture that you showed us?
Oh, Trace, do you not know this? Do you not know this story?
No.
Not anymore. Dude, learning it now.
Dude, there is a photo, and I don't know who took the photo, but you remember, and I know you do, you remember when, like, you know, they used to have the Minnie Pearls and the Hank Jr. or the Hank Seniors, like the characters outside to welcome the buses out at the Ryman when they would do the tours and stuff.
Yeah.
So there is a photo. The last that little Jimmy Dickens was on the Opry stage, and as he's walking off stage that night, there is, without a shadow of a doubt, the silhouette of Hank Sr. in the background, underneath like the second level. Hmm. It's the craziest thing ever, and they've taken it as far as to look back, and that night they didn't have the Minnie Pearl or Hank Sr. welcoming any of the buses, so there's no reason that it should have been that.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Trace could give two rips. I can tell you right now, he doesn't care, Mark. He's not into it like we are.
I mean, I'm not really much into, like, the whole haunted thing or any of that, but that kind of freaked me out. When I saw the photo, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
It looks just like
it. Yeah, it is. It looks just like it. I'll show it to you next time I see it.
It is more believable given the fact of when the picture was taken. If that was put out today, I'd just be like, nah.
That's right.
It was the last night that little Jimmy was on the stage, like December 24th or 23rd somewhere of the year that he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He passed away on Macy's birthday on January 2nd.
So it was almost like Hank Sr. was there to say goodbye to his friend on stage, to be there for that moment.
All right. It's crazy. I'll show it to you.
Sorry to bother you.
Bother me. I'm at the beach. I'm down here. Me and Kelly are at Daytona.
Oh, okay. Nice. Are you actually on the beach?
Well, no.
Are you on the beach?
I'm actually in the parking lot of the Renaissance. We're getting ready to walk into the hotel and go set out by the pool.
Do
you go to the beach?
No.
Me neither. I think that's the dumbest thing human beings do is go to the beach.
Why?
Yeah, if you want to lay in the dirt, I got 100 acres down here south of town. You can go down there, and I got a pond, too. You can lay in the dirt.
It's the sound.
It's the same
smell.
Sun that they have in Florida. Same freaking sun. The dirt is a little different texture, but can lay in the dirt.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest,
get drunk
biggest
as much
waste
you
of time yeah. of Trace, anything that
Trace
anybody
is
does.
A great point right now.
Yeah, you're dope. steps. You guys went down all the way down to Florida just to do that?
To lay in the dirt.
Jeez.
Well, I'll explain that to you.
Well, he went
time
to Daytona
you,
but... for something else. You know, you don't go there just to lay in the dirt.
Well, my grandbaby's down here having stem cell treatments for his autism.
Oh my goodness.
So all right. That's what down here in Florida having with our kids because they just had his treatment this morning.
All right. Well, hey, sending lots of prayers to him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Man.
Also, thanks.
Yeah, Bubba. I'll do it.
All right. We'll see you later, man.
You boys be careful.
See you, buddy.
Right, bye-bye. God, Mark knows how to stop a party.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
Jeez. How about a blinker? Jeez, Mark. God.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, real guys. I got to tell you, though, honestly, it's not just the beach. Man, wish him all the best. 30 years of celebrating music. The one and only Trace Adkins. You can catch him doing two nights at the Ryman, also doing a big tour. This is a busy year for you, right? You're launching into it.
I'm gonna be busy this year, so you know, just doing this 30th anniversary
well
thing.
You're getting to a point you were like, yeah, I'm done.
I don't know, someday. But you know what, my voice is still it's funny. I was saying to somebody the other day, I did a show and
I just knocked on wood for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did a show and I got done and it was like, you know what, man, that's about as good as I could have done 30 years ago. I've gotten better at my craft, and it's funny when that happens and you're at a place in your career where not really many people care anymore. But it's like, as long as I can sing the tunes the way that I used to sing them and my voice is still strong. Now, I can't do it as many nights a week as I used to. I will admit that. I don't want to do more than 3 shows a week, you know. I don't want to go past that, you know.
I love the fact that you play the hits. Like, and you're like, hey, people came here to hear.
I've always said, you know, I mean, George Strait, when he was 25 years into his career, if he'd gone on stage and said, I just recorded a new album, I'm going to do that whole album in its entirety for you tonight, people would have went, no, man. Yeah. I want to hear the chair. I want to hear, you know.
Well, it's like if you go see Aerosmith, you want to see all the old stuff. You don't want to hear the new album.
No, no.
You want Dream On. You want all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it should be a greatest hit show. And you know, I recognize that, and that's what I do.
There's a lot of artists that don't understand that, and they try and just push.
You force it down your throat. And you're like,
I'll do a couple maybe new things, you know, maybe 2 or 3, and maybe throw a cover in there and just – yeah, like I say, keep myself interested in the project, you know. But yeah, I know what they came to hear, and that's like, what I'm going to do.
It's like a comedian. You know, you go see their show, and it's like at the end, I love like the comedians who at the end of the show, they go, okay, so you've heard all the new stuff, and I know you want to hear the greatest hits, so here we go. And they go into some of their most popular jokes, and you're like, yes, that's cool that they,
Jeff,
you know,
Foxworthy,
realize.
For years, had to end his show with You Might Be a Redneck If. Yeah. You know, he had to, you know. Yeah. If he didn't do that... He had to do it. You know?
It's like going to a famous pizza place and getting a burger. It's stupid. Do you like that? Trace Adkins, 30 years.
He always goes back to a food reference.
I know. Look at us.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, morbidly obese.
At Trace Adkins on all social media. You can find him. You can follow his YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram. Website, TraceAdkins.com. You can follow all the stuff.
And he does all the posts himself. He loves it.
He's huge on social media.
Oh, he can't get enough of it. He's a selfie king.
You should do a whole thing on social media where you're too big for the screen. And so it always cuts off like your chin.
I would like to hand you a phone. Just hand him a phone and go, hey, post something on Instagram right now. And he would be like...
Wow. It's all just from the chin down, though.
Couldn't
too big for social media.
You want to see what Blake Shelton's screen is on his text?
Oh God!
This is where he texts me. That's that's, and the last text he sent was, "Hey, you never did this song, Hard Living by Keith Whitley," and it's above that.
Dude, I don't even want to look at that.
I don't either, man. You know, he sends me pictures that are worse than that.
Oh, wow. Well,
we do the same.
Listen, if you got in Oklahoma, you've been to Oklahoma, you can get bored quick.
Yeah,
you know, you got to start sending pictures of weird things to your buds at some point.
I'm uncomfortable now.
That's where you're going to hear the AI jingle that goes out.
Yeah, this one is the same every week. It never changes.
Very soulful, though.
Oh, that this was the podcast, but now it's over.
Yep, yep.
But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Sing along, Trace.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Woo! The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Doris Day.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Thank you, Trace. Thank you, brother.
Trace Atkins.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you, guys.